say something.
One of those letters there are on the table over there. But it really is an exciting opportunity for us to be gathering together and getting and as a fresh start of all that God is doing amongst us. And one of the ways that we see as a fresh start is looking at staffing. And I've got here a letter which I'll be sending out either today or tomorrow, and I'll put copies on the table as well, explaining the fact that as a leadership team, over the last year, we have been reviewing our staffing as a church. And there's been a number of different reasons why we've been looking at that. Firstly, I feel that as the leader of the church, to best serve the church into the future, I need to slightly reduce the paid hours that I give dedicated to Hope Church. As I'm getting older, I'm not feeling any sense of less of calling, but I do feel that I need to be wise and look to balance my life looking into the future. And the leadership team recognise the wisdom of that. Also, Linda, who was here, she's now leading the youth, and she's been working alongside me for a fair number of years, is being blessed continually by God. So before the lockdown, she was finding herself being used and involved in lots of things outside of the local church. She has served us well during the lockdown, effectively running a lot of things. But now lockdown is finishing, that her commitments and the influence that she's having outside of the local church are growing. She's involved in national youth type activities. Over the next while, she's preaching in lots of different places. God is blessing her and God is using her. And we see that is something that we want to continue. And then thirdly, Shirley, who was here for a number of years as our family worker, has moved away from Luton to get married and has left the team. And those three things has caused us to review staffing. And a natural outcome of that is that there's parts of Linda's role and my role which we would like to reallocate. And therefore, we see the need for a senior staff leadership role to work alongside our existing team. And that role will cover a mix of both pastoral and operational responsibilities, which we anticipate will support further development and growth for the church. And we believe that Jonathan Adams, as an elder of the church and with recognised gifting in this area, is ideally suited to join the staff team in that capacity. And John himself has felt a call to church leadership for a few years now, and he's been attending a leadership development course with Elizabeth, his wife, to prepare himself. And as a leadership team, we unanimously believe this is something that God is calling John into. We've invited people we trust from outside of Hope Church to speak into the situation, and they too believe that this is the right move to make. And so therefore, we commend to you John joining the staff team. And so from January 2022, John will join the staff team to work alongside Linda and myself. I'll continue to lead the church, lead the eldership, the leadership, and the staff teams. But please do pray for us as the leadership team, and in fact, all of us in Hope Church, as we grow and evolve the team in anticipation for all that God has got for us. We're not feeling that at this time we need to retreat and step back, but push on forward to what God's got ahead of us. And may God bless the team and use us to serve this church family, but also the people of Luton and further afield. So I'm excited about this. I'm looking forward to it. If John could start now, I'd be happy. But I'm looking forward to January, where he can come along and we can sort of expand what we're doing and give greater strength to what we're doing. So I commend all that to you.
Well, that's the good news. I know John is not here at the moment, but I believe he's connected somehow now as we speak. So I think it just feels right to just have say a short prayer for him as he embarks on this journey. Lord, we thank you for the life of John. We thank you for availing himself as a vessel for you to use. Lord, we pray that you bless him with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, patience, grace, Lord, for this journey, for this work that he's been assigned to. Lord, we pray that through this he will love you more and know you more. We pray that his family also will support and help him on this journey. Amen.
And also, Father, we pray for the leadership of the church. Lord, we thank you for the direction that you are taking this church. We thank you that we have leaders who listen in to what the Spirit is saying. So, Father, we just pray that your Spirit will be a guide as we move into the next stage. What you are doing, you are a God of new beginnings, new things all the time, continually. So Lord, we just pray that have your way in Hope Church and use this church to be a blessing to individuals and to families in Luton. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we'll call on Tony now to give us the word.
Get myself established. Well, it's nice to be here, and it is lovely to see numbers of new people. Please don't rush away at the end. As I say, there'll be information there, and I'd love personally just to say hello and welcome you amongst us. So, have you got the sermon PowerPoint, Tondrai? There we go. We're on. So much has changed over the last 18 months since we were regularly worshipping together as a body. And as a leadership team, we felt it was important to just spend a few weeks to remind everybody what church is all about, starting this week. And so this morning, we're looking at why be part of a local church at all. And then as weeks go on, we'll be looking at why be part of this particular church, Hope Church in Luton, and then we'll look at where we are or where we feel we are on the journey together and where we think God is leading us, where we're going. So, this morning, why be part of a local church at all? And let's be honest, as I've put on the PowerPoint, there are numbers of reasons not to. And sadly, the truth is that church isn't always a safe place. Leaders can and do betray trust. And there's numerous examples recently, both locally and also high-profile examples, nationally and internationally. I don't think it's right to go into details, but we need to admit that it happens. And when leaders fall, when leaders do things they shouldn't, people get hurt. People are damaged. Confidence in the church is therefore undermined. Leaders sometimes abuse in lots of different ways. Leaders take advantage of their position to serve themselves rather than the people of God, their flock. It's mentioned in the Old and New Testament. It happened then, it happens now. And so becoming a member of a local church, committing yourself to a local church, does involve risk. We can be hurt by leaders. And we can hurt not just by leaders, but by other people. We can be overlooked, mistreated, or sometimes just feel we don't fit in. We can feel excluded by cliques. We can feel unloved. We can feel friendless. We can feel vulnerable in a place where we feel that shouldn't be happening. Therefore, I'm aware that some people choose to follow Christ, to focus on him, to attend worship at times, and now, even better, you can attend worship sometimes by just tuning in to something on your laptop and have no personal commitment and reduce that risk. And we focus on our relationship with God, and we feed that relationship in various different ways, because we don't want to put ourselves at risk of disappointment, which comes by committing to a particular local church. To commit to a particular local church and particular leadership within that church. And let's be real, it's understandable. You can understand why people do that. But also, over the years, I've come across others who choose to say they want to follow Christ rather than any man-made institution. And it's not about the risks, it's just the fact they feel, I don't need it. Why should I? I don't need a local church. Jesus didn't have a local church. Why should I? And there are very many high-profile Christians who aren't part of a local church. They don't need to be. I don't need to be. I'm following Christ. And I share all this because I do understand those reasons. I personally found Christ by reading the Bible and discussing things outside of any local church context. I'd never been a church goer in my life. I was brought up to go to church for weddings and funerals and maybe Christmas. Every Christmas, the family discussed going to church, but never went. That was the closest we got to it. At least we talked about it as a possibility. And it was a shock to me when the people who led me to Christ said that following Christ involved being part of his church. And for many months, probably a year, I started to look for a church that I could relate to, somewhere that I could feel at home in. It even took me a while to admit that worshipping within a local church community should have a greater priority than playing rugby on a Sunday morning. But now, in my Christian life, I've been part of a local church for over 40 years. There have been times when I have been hurt by fellow believers. There have been times when I felt attacked and misunderstood by them. I feel as disappointed as anybody else, maybe even more, when people I admire, people I know personally, do things I find shocking. People behave in a way that I struggle to comprehend. When I see the damage that that does to God's people. However, overall, my experience of being part of a local church has been a very positive experience. And the benefits have far outweighed the downsides. However, the most important reasons for belonging to a local church is not just the pragmatic, the fact that it's good for you. I believe the reason we ought to belong to a local church is because it's biblical. As my early Christian friend said to me, it's part of the package of following Christ. You can't love and follow Christ and then reject and walk away from his body. So let's focus a little on the reasons why we should be part of the local church, why it's biblical, and also alongside that, I think it's biblical, but it also makes sense. First of all, family. God puts us into families. All societies, all cultures have a form of family life. It's how God has designed us. Now, in saying that, I do know that there are people here who are estranged from their family, that they've been damaged by their families. But that's not how God intended family life to be. Relationships generally and family relationships in particular are not easy. But when we persevere, they are so rewarding. That's God's intention. It's true within my family. It's not always been easy. Yet I feel, to use a religious term, I feel blessed. I really do feel blessed to be part of my earthly family. To have had relationships with grandparents, parents, with my wife, my sons, now my grandchildren. Let alone brothers, brothers-in-law, cousins, in-laws of lots of different shapes and sizes. We are meant to also be part of a spiritual family as well as a natural family. Jesus said we must be born again. We must have spiritual birth as well as natural birth. And we're born again into a new family, the church. And having no contact with your new family is as if you don't have a family at all. It's like living as an orphan when you don't need to. Choosing to be an orphan. And we believe that working out spiritual family has to be in a local context. A context where you can live life together. It was Jesus who introduced this idea of a new family. His mother and brothers were looking for him. And he used the opportunity to say, "Here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." That's in Mark chapter 3. Jesus introduced his followers as his new family. He chose a close spiritual family, his church. But Jesus, more than any of us, knew the experience of even those followers letting him down. Yet he encourages us to have a spiritual family. We all need to be part of that spiritual family. We need each other. I have actually, even though I'm not a youngster anymore, I've just been part of four churches in my life. I've been part of Hope Church for the longest. I've been here nearly 20 years now. In all those churches, they have been family to me. I have found mothers and fathers. I found brothers and sisters, as well as spiritual sons and daughters. God designed us to be in families. God's local church is a spiritual family. And then body. The favorite picture that Paul has for the church is as a body. And one of the major points that he brings is that we need each other in the same way as one part of a body needs another. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. But even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm, yeah, sorry, I can't read my own notes. I thought this doesn't make sense. Of course it makes sense. Paul knew what he was writing. It's just that I couldn't read it properly. So, apologies to Paul. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that that would not for that reason stop being part of the body. The whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We need each other. It's together that we make up the body. And it's not just the fact that we need other people, but other people need you. And my experience is that we are far more aware of what other people offer than what we ourselves contribute to the body. I worked this out a while ago. I, believe it or not, have always been really good at maths. At school, I found maths came quite easy. And so therefore, I studied it at university because I could do that with the least amount of work. It was easy. However, I was thrown out of the French group very early. I struggled to try and get a German GCE or something like that and failed. I tried to play the recorder and couldn't. I couldn't read music. To me, anybody who's good at maths, that's easy. You don't have to be bright to be good at maths. It's easy. But if I saw someone who could, like the music group here, who can play music, I think, wow, aren't they clever? Aren't they able? And for those of you who can speak more than one language, I'm in awe. I think how bright and intelligent you must be. Then it suddenly dawned on me, everybody else feels the same. The things that we can do, we undervalue. So I don't value maths, because anyone can do maths, that's easy. You don't have to be clever to be able to do maths. But if you can do music or languages, you must be really bright. Then it suddenly dawned on me, they thought I was bright. Because I could do maths, they thought I must be really intelligent. And we all go around doing that. So we value what other people can bring, and we undervalue what we can bring. We can see what is lost to the body of Christ when someone withdraws and isn't involved anymore. But we can be totally unaware of what we ourselves contribute. Trust me, each of you has a unique and a distinct part to play in the body of Christ. Christ needs us all with all our different giftings, all our different personalities, all our different strengths to make up the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. The body is not complete without you. So those who choose not to engage causes everybody to miss out, not just themselves. Additionally, what this scripture also explains is that it's together that we're connected to Christ, the head of the church. Too often in our Western individual culture, we talk about my relationship with Christ, whereas the Bible doesn't talk about just my relationship with Christ, but our relationship to Christ. It's together as a body that we meet with Christ. It's together as we worship together. We have a corporate experience as of the body to relate to Christ, which supplements and adds to our individual relationships with Christ. And then another key place where the body metaphor is used by Paul is in Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we all grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Christ gives leadership to the church, His body, so that it is built up, so that it grows, so that it becomes mature. And there'll be more on this next week. What I want to emphasize now is that being part of a local body with Christ-appointed leadership, that stops us being tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. There's so much false teaching out there, as Jesus said there would be. And we need the protection of the body so that together we can discern truth. I don't know about you, but I just find it so sad when you see the error that people fall in. Which is why, to me, it's so devastating when those who should be protecting the body end up damaging it, betraying people's trust when they ought to be caring for and helping the body grow. But the answer isn't to reject leadership, but to seek to find and develop godly servant leadership. And leaders need the body too. Each part does its work. The body totally builds itself up in Christ. I, as a leader, need you. And that's where things go wrong when leaders think that they are above criticism, they are above any accountability. The body working properly needs each other. Leaders need others to speak into their lives and to protect them. We do need each other. And then finally, lastly, spiritual warfare. It's not just cunning and craftiness of men. We have an accuser. We have an enemy. Our battle is not just against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Peter tells us to be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That's 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Lions attack those on the fringe. It's the pack, it's the herd that gives protection against the lion. I find it helpful to picture a tank. A tank only gives armored protection whilst you're in it. When you get outside of the tank, then you're vulnerable to sniper fire. The local church, with its relationships, with its prayer, protects us in the context of spiritual warfare. That's how God designed it. I therefore believe with all my heart that the benefits of being part of a local church far exceeds the costs. So to conclude, we'll be looking more at Hope Church in particular later in the series, but just to say for now, I know the same as you know that we're not perfect. I know that we can have these ideas about being a family, a body, and everything else. And you can tell me, yes, what about this? What about that? What about the other? I know. We're not perfect. But we're learning and growing all the time. We're trying to avoid the pitfalls, seeking to be a church that works well. As has been said, there's nothing like the local church when the local church is working well. But we need to work at it, and we need to work at that together. My goal in this sermon, in this service, is to encourage you to commit to being an active part of a local church family, a local representative of the body of Christ, whether or not that is Hope Church, though it would be great if you wanted to be part of us. In doing so, can I encourage you to be discerning? Seek God in it. If you're already part of Hope Church or another local expression of Christ Church, I hope that I've reminded you why you are, the benefits of it, the joys of it. I hope that I have reminded you such that you feel able to recommit yourself to be known and to know others, to love and be loved, to serve and be served. That's what it's like to be part of a local church. And that's what I believe all Christians are called to be. And that's how we serve him and see Christ working in this world that he's placed us in. For the glory of God. Amen.